Before starting, maybe with a little guided meditation on the instruction for the day, I want to introduce the instructions on mindfulness of emotions. Emotions are an important part of our life, and they're just as valid or area of mindfulness as anything else. And what I evoked last night about respect. Respect is offering whatever our experience is, offering it a new way to look at it, to look at it again. And maybe in the looking, in the awareness of it, to approach it in a different way than how we would habitually do so, or automatically do so, or reactively do so. And to find a new way of meeting, being present for our experience. So there's some maybe beginning of freedom, of being free in the midst of it, not being caught by it. So to bring respect to emotions means both to honor them, but also means to see if we can look at them, look upon them in a new way, in a way that has freedom as part of it. Not the freedom that requires them to go away, but the freedom that can be there, even when they're there. And I want to offer you four different aspects of mindfulness of emotions that maybe might be useful to kind of find your bearings with them. Sometimes emotions can just seem solid or just, you know, just that they're just impenetrable. And these four different aspects fit into an acronym called RAFT, R-A-F-T. And that's kind of nice because if you're swirling in the whirlpools, strong currents, it's nice sometimes to climb up on a raft to get safe and above the currents. So the raft for emotions, the first one is to recognize. The second is to allow. The third is to feel. And the fourth is a little bit more complicated, and that is to tease apart. So to recognize, it's a huge thing to recognize we're having an emotion. Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes they sneak up on us, and we kind of don't quite know why we're feeling what we do. But to have a clear recognition, and this act of recognition is part of this respect. Oh, if you're feeling sad, there's something about stepping back, in a sense, and clearly recognizing, oh, this is sadness. This is happiness. This is joy. This is irritation. This is. And in that clear kind of recognition, it's the beginning of maybe finding some kind of inkling or some movement of freedom, or non-reactivity. How can we recognize? How can we be present in a way that, oh, this is what's happening. And while we're doing that, we're not swimming in it or lost in it or preoccupied with it. So this, take a moment to clearly recognize. Having recognized what's going on, and even if the recognition is confusion, or there are times when all I can recognize is something is happening. I can't recognize it any better than that. But just that's enough. It's a recognition. Something's happening. I don't know what it is. And then and then to allow. Allow doesn't mean to condone. It doesn't mean to continue being caught up in it or involved in whatever the emotion is. But to allow is to, it's very generous. It's to make space for it to be there in awareness, so that in the awareness we're not for or against it. And this also is a step towards freedom. To allow means that part of us, mature, maybe part of ourselves, is beginning to kind of hold it, hold whatever is there, be with whatever is there, without being caught by it or reactive to it. And so, with emotions, we sometimes explore and try to discover, how can we just allow this to be here? Allow it in awareness. And then it's useful to feel emotions. And for me, the word feel implies feeling it physically. How is that emotion felt in the body? What parts of the body are activated, energized, when certain emotions are present? Just about every emotion will have some physical corollary or manifestation. And there's, by feeling that place in the body, whether it's a particular place or the whole body, the energy, the heat, the tightening, the pressure, the warmth, the expansion, the contraction, by feeling it, we do a number of things. It's part of the respect, because it's allowing the body to be the container. Allow the body to give room for this. And by doing so, it can allow the emotion to be freer to evolve. Emotions are processes, and feeling in the body is kind of a way of getting out of its way, and just letting it kind of move through and do what it needs to do. Feeling it in the body is also a way of not getting caught up in the story or the judgments that we might have about the emotion. It's a way of trying to stay simple. Simple emotions. Sometimes I like the idea of pristine emotions. Just the simplicity of it in its own right. Without anticipation and meaning making and just this. And then the fourth one is to tease apart. And emotions are not just one thing. They're a composite of different currents of our life coming together. So to begin seeing, for example, teasing apart the story from the bodily sensations. Noticing that if in the emotion, there's any wanting, desire, volition. And to notice to what degree we're involved with the emotion. Are we glued to it, or do we invest a lot of importance to it? Do we believe emotions? Do we, you know, what's our relationship to it? Do we use it to define ourselves? Do we use it to judge ourselves? Do we use it to make up meaning? This means that. We sit and we feel some joy in meditation. This means I'll always be happy until the next sitting. Or feeling sad. This means I'll always be sad. That's assigning meaning or conclusions. So to tease that apart and to see that the simplicity of the emotion is distinct from what the mind does to it or does with it. None of this need to be seen as wrong, but there's freedom to be found in teasing it apart, seeing each parts of it, just a simple thing in itself. It's easier to kind of be open and relaxed and free in seeing the component parts. And the reason it's easier is that when we bring them all together, it's often a symptom of not being free. so often comes together with some degree of attachment. So to start teasing apart in a loving way, careful way, hopefully in an uncomplicated way, not a lot of analysis, just by looking more carefully. So with emotions, to recognize them, to allow them, to feel them, and to, in the right time, to tease apart the different elements of it, and to do all of that in an easy, relaxed way, no hurry. As a way of beginning to find freedom with what's there. To be, in a sense, maybe bigger, would be to be more expansive than the emotion itself. So then, to say a few kind of guided words for meditation. Gently close your eyes. And you might take a few moments to generously, kindly notice how you are right now. Is there some emotion or mood that's present for you? Could be that you're calm. Could be that you're eager. You're impatient or feeling settled. Could be anything. It could be that you clearly feel some kind of way, but it's not clear. So there's a recognition of something. And take a moment to recognize how you are. And can that recognition be calm, relaxed, easy, and being easy, can there be some freedom in the simple recognition? And can there be some degree of allowing it to be as it is? To give it permission to be there? Some degree of allowing. And in whatever degree of allowing there is, could there be a simple recognition of some freedom? And taking the time to consciously feel the emotion or mood that you have in your body. It might be faint, might be strong. And in the conscious choice to feel, to be more fully present for it in the body, is there some freedom there as well? Taking a few moments to tease apart, not exactly actively teasing apart, but by being sensitive to the reactivity, how you relate to it, your preferences in regard to it, any meaning you assign to it. Any way in which you define yourself or identify yourself with it. In seeing that the relationship and the emotion are distinct. And if that distinction is clear, is there some degree of freedom there too? And then in the midst of all this, perhaps like a leaf dropping from a tree onto the forest floor, let your awareness drop into your experience of breathing. A leaf falls on the forest floor, perhaps letting the rhythm of breathing, let the breathing itself gently settle into the middle of your body, your being. Perhaps allowing yourself to follow along to the end of the exhale. To that point where the exhale ends. And the inhale begins. Perhaps as you exhale, to soften the thinking muscle. Perhaps letting go of your thoughts, and in letting go of them, letting go into your breathing. Letting go of your thoughts. Floating down into your breathing. Allowing awareness to ride the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. And if some experience of the body or some experience of emotions becomes more prominent or compelling than the breathing, calmly bring respect to that. Recognize it. Allow it. Feel it. And tease apart the way you relate to it, and maybe find a simple way of being with whatever is happening. So mindfulness of emotions is useful in a number of ways. Maybe the most important is that we're trying to doing mindfulness practice, we're trying to bring the same quality of attention to all aspects of our life. But there's something about letting awareness be all-inclusive that makes it, in my mind, kind of sacred, kind of special. And once we have an inside and outside, what's acceptable and not acceptable for awareness, then we lose that kind of sacredness of the whole. So emotions are part of that whole. Another reason why mindfulness of emotions are useful is that our emotions can often cast a mood on our attention, how we relate to things, how we're present for things. And if we don't recognize what the mood or the emotion is, then it can have undue influence on how we're aware. We might be in an aversive state of mind, and so there's a quality of aversion in how we pay attention. Or there can be fear. That's the mood, the emotional state. And the way we pay attention is like the eyes are open and cautious and tentative in how we bring attention to something. But if we can recognize the emotion, then we can kind of tease apart the act of being present from the emotion that's there. And these four different kind of aspects of mindfulness of emotions are like four sides of the same thing, one thing. They're not necessarily four different practices. And sometimes one stands out as how we do it or what's the approach of the moment. Sometimes it's plenty enough to just recognize. Sometimes just to allow an awareness. Sometimes to feel. Sometimes to tease apart. As practice gets more and more settled, as we get more concentrated or still, then I think they fall away in reverse order. As things get simpler and simpler in practice, we're just able to stay here, to tease apart is a little bit too active. And so that kind of, we don't need to tease apart, because we're here and present. As we continue sometimes even to feel it, take that time to feel it, or even the sense of body can kind of become more, like someone mentioned the other day, if body just feels more like air or space, and so there's not that much to feel, or it's not that central to what's going on. And maybe that falls away. And then sometimes even the act of allowing, it's still kind of an act, the doing. And just at some points it just seems like, I'm just busy being allowing things. And it's just simpler to just not allow, which by default means you're still allowing, but you're not doing it. And then you're left with a simple recognition, simple knowing. Just knowing this, just allowing things to arise and pass, come and go. Just this. So this kind of morphs and changes, you know, how these four different aspects of mindfulness emotions can operate. In some ways, the RAFT acronym can be used for almost anything, not just emotions. Maybe we can take time for one or two questions if someone has some. Yes, please.
The big thing that I deal with is constant thoughts arising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the teasing apart because I can picture how that would open the door to all kinds of reflections where I would just go off.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you said to do that gently and carefully, but
yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. There'll be more instructions and discussion about thinking tomorrow. The you know, it's pretty normal that if we see something new or a new thing happens or new understanding happens, that there's some reflection that follows, and it's not a sin to be reflecting. It's fine. But the idea is when we get to do a lot of it, then it's kind of like characterizes how we live our life, and we get lost in it so easily. Then yes, noticing thinking can be a hook, just get involved further. So there's, you know, sometimes if it's interesting just to come back to the breathing and let go the best you can. And sometimes the intensity of thoughts is just, we have a habit of kind of surface thoughts. We get caught in the surface world, and it's relatively easy to let go of. And then sometimes it's better just to just let go of it and come back to breathing. And then, but sometimes in terms of teasing apart or looking at it more carefully, that the thoughts also are made up of component parts, different aspects of thinking. And so, for example, do you know whether you think more in words or more in images? Or equal amount?
I think more in words.
Think more in words. So that's beginning to tease apart, to notice something about your way. And then as you think in words, is it kind of an inner voice, or do you see text?
It's a voice.
And if that voice, if it spoke of, like you didn't understand what the person was saying, it's just a voice, is it what tone of voice is it?
Very curious and engaged.
So it's curious and engaged. So it's possible then to feel the curiosity and engagement distinct from the thinking. And so if you feel the curiosity and engagement, where do you feel that in your body? Is there a location you think for that? So you might feel it in your full body, feel it in the head where it is. And and sometimes you can feel the physical manifestation or physical connection to the thinking. There could be contraction and tightness, energy. There could be buzzing. There can be pressure. Sometimes you can feel the glue, the kind of, there's thinking and then it's me glued to the thoughts. So it's possible to kind of tease apart different aspects of thinking that are distinct from the content. And this idea of curiosity is you know, kind of belongs to the emotional realm. And if there's a lot of recurrent thinking, it's almost always going to be some emotion that's fueling it or feeding it. And if you let go of the thoughts, the emotion that's a factory for it is still going to be there. And what's really needing attention is the emotion. Bring presence to that. And the thoughts are a little like a byproduct. I think of them sometimes as a little flag that's being waved up above my head saying, hey you, over here. But you don't look at the flag, you look at, you know, the thing that's holding the flag, which is the emotions kind of. And so to hold that and be with that is sometimes, you know, certainly very respectful, because our emotions sometimes are actually more central, more deeper to what's really going on, as opposed to the thoughts and ideas. And there's a way in which a lot of thinking disconnects us from ourselves. Okay? Thank you. So, and thank you for your practice, and I really love it to be here with you and feeling you sit and be here, and also being around the building and the property with you all doing your practice. It's a great thing. And I certainly encourage you, in the way that's right for each of you, to kind of give yourself over to building more wholehearted in your practice, if that is a term, an idea that is meaningful for you. One way to do that is to think of the block of time, like a sitting, a walking and a sitting, to be one block of practice. So it isn't like you sit and take a break, and then walk, take a break, but you try to kind of do, be as continuous as you can during that bigger block of time. And just so you feel like you're kind of flowing and staying in the flow and of it all. And because there's something about the continuity of practice that really supports the deepening of mindfulness, the growth of mindfulness. And, you know, care for yourself through the practice. Stay close to your practice today. And so we have this board down there, the note board, And you can welcome to leave notes there again for us for this evening's Q&A if you have questions for us. And also, even if you're not expecting a note from someone because you left a note for a manager and expect a note back, it's good, like when you go down for a meal, just go over and check the board to see, because sometimes the managers have occasion to leave a note for you independent of whether you're expecting one. And so there's been a change in your work meditation or something. So if you can always be kind of periodically through the day, just check the board and see if there's a note for you. Enjoy your day. Thank you.